What's the best month to be born in?
I'll tell you right now, it's April.
Having your birthday in April means that the weather's finally starting to get nice again. If you were born in April, you're one of the funniest people out there. You guys are good friends and very loyal. You're also more likely to be successful than any other month.
What?
I feel like I got a B12 shot. I'm back, baby! I'm back!
What the hell is that?
Stone on Air coming up.
Completely unsanctioned by the church.
Stone on Air.
Whatever, let's just do this.
Stone on Air.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Give human beings opportunity, and you'll be absolutely shocked with what people do with it.
Stone on Air coming up.
Stone on Air.
And welcome in, everybody. After a week off, the hashtag best month ever is now officially over halfway done with. That's the bad news. The good news is there's still two full weekends and plenty more of hashtag my month. My name is Brian Stone. This is the Stone on Air podcast. A lot to get to after a vacation week. I will try to cram it in as quickly as possible, and I will do so momentarily. Hang tight.
Life, man. A generation.
Quickly, 30 seconds on this. I have been struggling for years now because of my refusal to upgrade in software. I have been struggling with the hardware aspect of this whole recording downloadable content venture. And I had another problem again today. I could fix that by buying brand new equipment and getting new updated software, but I'm an old middle-aged man and I refuse to do it. Damn it. I will fight like hell to keep the status quo together. And this software is so perfect. It's so great. It's so wonderful. Why would I learn anything else new? Said every old boring guy ever, right? Welcome into the show. This is a usually weekly show every Wednesday, today being April 17th in the year 2024. My name is Brian. This is the Stone on Air podcast, and it is just my commentary and thoughts on the passing parade, generally speaking, of things going on here in the Southeast and the city of Chattanooga more specifically. It is in 20-minute segments. You can drop in and out of each one if you'd like, or do what most people, I like to believe, do, listen to every single second. Every single Wednesday, even though we all know that is not entirely true. Coming up in the second segment of the show, I'll do a bunch of catch up from last week. And this training from the Department of Defense became a lot of chatter online in the last, we'll call it about 48 hours at this point. That'll be the bulk of the second segment. And in the final segment of the show, one of the co-founders of the organization called Soberu, Patrick Whalen is his name. He joined us on the What podcast, which is also available every Wednesday for your listening pleasure. And if you don't listen to that or don't want to listen to that for whatever reason, I'll give you a couple of clips from an hour-long conversation we had. I think this will interest many people who are not necessarily all that interested in festivals and Bonnaroo itself. So that's something to think about, and you can make up your mind from there. So for the open, I will bring back three pieces of audio this week because I haven't done that in quite some time because there's just been lots to talk about. And why the hell not? So let's just start off with the vacation week. A lot of times I'll do I call it an audio slideshow of a vacation week. There really isn't anything to tell. I'll just quickly on the front end just say it is so nice to not have to go to work for a week. I mean, this is middle-class America. This is the reality that we have to live, and vacations are great, and I agree, and I like my vacations as well. I have two this year, Bonnaroo being one of them, barely counts, but still two things that are way out of the ordinary. I'll go to New York later in the year, but this is what it's all about to me, taking some time off, getting some things done, living your life regularly, and doing things and being productive and not having to go to work. Oh my God. It's like living on a different planet. For me, anyway. I did a doctor visit, dentist. I went to the vet. I got a small electrical issue at the house, a small project done at the house, spring cleaning, Wanderlinger, Pizzeria Cortile, Provino's on my birthday. Yes, cliche, I know, but I still like to do it. And it was just a fabulous week. And time slows down when you do life completely different than normal. And taking vacations in itself is normal. And when I have a vacation, time just disappears. It evaporates. When you slow things down and you just live life, time really stands still, at least in my head anyway. And that nearly 10 days, what effectively was about 9 days, felt like a couple of weeks. Oh man, it was needed. And that's why I took the show off, because this takes up a lot of my free time. And I didn't want to do that last week because I was afraid it would start to speed things up, because I'm constantly racing the clock. That's all of our lives. I mean, I'm guessing we all live pretty similarly. And when you're racing the clock, it moves faster. And when you're not, it slows down. And of course, it is just all perception based. We all have the same amount of time in a day. We all have the same amount of time in a week, month, all of that. But, you know, these traditional vacations and cramming them all into a year, it's overrated, especially if you're poor like me. And I'm not dirt poor. I'm the most not poor, poor guy you know. But money is a problem in my life, meaning never having enough of it. And you got to get creative when you're poor. And I'm not mad about this, and I'm not looking for any sympathy or anybody to feel bad for me. I like the life that I live. This is the life I chose. I didn't have to be in this financial situation that I am throughout the last 25 years. I chose it. And so I'm fine with it, but you got to get creative. And I see, oh, going on vacation, I'm at the beach. Oh, wow, eating crab legs and getting drunk on the beach. Oh, wow, that's exciting. No wonder that went by so fast. Oh, I'm at Disney again. Oh, my God. Look, hey, there's Mickey Mouse. I mean, of course, no wonder everybody's so exhausted from a vacation, because there's so much that goes into it. And so many people just do the same things over and over again. And I rarely take a week like I did last week. And I loved it. So that's all about that. I said I wasn't going to do a slideshow, and I guess I did. Anyway, apparently it is Chattanooga Burger Week. And I am a simple guy in some respects. I love simple American food. I love pizza. I love sausage. I love hot dogs. I love anything on a bun. And I love a great burger. And I have had trouble my whole life answering the question, who's got the best burger in town? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I do know they're rolling all week long at $7. That's now a good deal. $7 burger at several different places. I won't run through the whole list. It's like 25 of them. A lot of the usual suspects that you would expect. And then a lot of others that you wouldn't. 423 Taco. Sorry, I'm not going to a taco joint for a burger. But the whole list is out there. If you want to see and give some a try, you can. But I really can't answer that question. What is the best burger? In my now cooking days, in my middle age, I make a pretty damn good burger. But I default to the Tremont burger. But, you know, I've only had it at The Feed. And while The Feed is one of my favorite places ever, love it, love it, love it. Everybody who knows me knows that. I don't think the burger's that good. I've never had it at actual Tremont. I have talked to people who have worked at both who say that the seasoned grill at Tremont is better than whatever seasoned grill they have at The Feed. I don't know if that's true, but I know it matters and I know it's important. If you told me that 5 years ago, I would have said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. See, the grill makes all the difference. Shut up. No, I know that's true now. And so maybe that's the case. But, I mean, I am 44 years old now as of last week, and I still can't answer the question, what is the best burger in town? And now the Smash Burger has just kind of changed the game. Old school types don't want to hear that. They think, I've heard many times, and mostly from people older than me, oh, the Smash Burger, that's dumb looking. No. If you haven't tried a Smash Burger, then you're not doing burgers right. I'm not saying it needs to be your favorite, but it certainly needs to be at least tried out if burgers are something that you enjoy. So it is Chattanooga Burger Week. If you want to see some soccer, the Red Wolves, you'll be able to this weekend. These numbnuts that run this terrible sports enterprise canceled their first two games because of field issues, and I didn't know what they were. Well, I found out from people who know. Turns out they're going to a natural surface, because I thought, why would they have field turf problems other than shoddy installation, which is certainly possible with these with these buffoons, but apparently they're going to a natural surface, and they tried to put it down in the winter. Didn't take, didn't grow. Who didn't know that? And they weren't able to open the season on time. Bunch of amateurs over there. I wish them well because they operate in East Ridge, but I've tried my best to be nice about it, but they are, they're dumb. That's just the bottom line. The Red Wolves concept idea, I believe the sample is large enough to say it's a bad idea. I think the statement that this town isn't big enough to support two minor league soccer teams is probably fair and accurate, but it goes a step further than that. I'm not sure that anybody wants to support two teams. Not that they can't. I'm not sure that anybody actually wants to. In the last week, O.J. Simpson has died. And so good riddance, double murderer. I don't know anybody who doesn't believe that's the case. But I'm glad I didn't end up doing this now because the timing would not have worked. Last week, I did consider doing a pod because I have this idea for this year, and it's going to take some work, but I'm going to do it, and I'm just not sure when. I want to look back at the entire year of 1994. If you look at the last, 50 years, starting today and going back, tonight, 1975 plus or so, I'm not sure that there's a year that rivals what was happening in America in 1994, and the world maybe even for that matter. There's going to be a lot of stuff I learn or re-remember when I do decide to do this show, and I thought last week might be the time to do it. Of course, obviously the math is right at 30 years. Music, film, TV, the political spectrum, geopolitics, and the O.J. Simpson trial. I have barely scratched the surface of that year, and I can't wait to do a deeper dive. And now with that maniac dead and gone, it helps tell that story even better. So I'll do that at some point this year. It might not be until the end of the year. I'm glad I didn't, what effectively would have been wasted my time on it. Did you see this though, by the way? OJ had visitors for the last however long as he was on, I guess, hospice. They all had to sign non-disclosure agreements. What in the hell? It never ends with that guy. Well, I guess it does end. He's dead. So the ultimate ending. But just bizarro world that O.J. Simpson brought to us all. I don't want to do the show now, but we became a different kind of people because of that trial, that coverage, the sensationalism of it. That changed everything. We talk about, that was time that things changed. That's the time. 1994. It is wild that year, and spend some time on it eventually. Super fast here. There's some changes potentially coming to the commission, county commission meetings that'll be voted on. I'll see how that goes here in the middle of the week and potentially talk about that more next week. $400,000 going to the Tivoli on top of the other millions that they have been raising. They're not looking to reopen that until late 25 and into 2026. Why so long? Love the Tivoli. Love the Tivoli. Sorry to all the Memorial Auditorium lovers or likers. I hate that place. I really don't like the Memorial Auditorium. I appreciate what they're trying to do at the Walker Theater. I think it's a good idea. I just think that place sucks even worse. So come back, Tivoli. I can't wait for you. A couple quick things I did not know myself. Opened in March of 1921. In 1926, the Tivoli became one of the first public buildings in the country to be air-conditioned. In 1962, we almost lost it until the Benwood Foundation came in. In 86, the Lenhurst Foundation threw $7 million more at it to keep it rolling, and here we are again. And it needs some TLC, as they say. There's no doubt about that. But boy, what a beautiful place, and I cannot wait for the Tivoli to be back, but I'm going to have to wait quite some time. Rhonda Thurman, blah, blah, blah. Get to her maybe in a minute. Unionizing at the VW, blah, blah, blah. Maybe get that in a minute as well. Let's go ahead and do a couple pieces of these audio. Two that are 420 based since we are on the eve of the weekend, and one that is not at all. The generational wars continue. So this is from TikTok. It is what they call a stitch. So, and I guess the reels on Instagram probably do it now too, where you take somebody else's question, thought, and then you comment with it yourself. So that's how this starts, and it is talking to a Gen Xer. I'm calling it today's worst idea.
How did you guys do it? How did you stay out of the generational hate?
Stay out of it? Are you kidding me? We're refereeing it. Let me tell you what it's like to be a Gen X in the workplace. You work for baby boomers and you manage millennials and Gen Zs. So we're basically the net in your pickleball game. You've got, if you're not working 60 hours a week, you're not working hard enough. And you have like, I have to have my own time and I need a mental health day and I can only work 36 hours a week because it's just too hard. And then you have nobody's at work at 8:00. And then you have like, I have to drop my kids off at school at 8:15. So I'm going to be there at 8:00. It's like, well, when I was that age, I could get my kids to school and I can't get them to school now. And then you're like, I know, but times are different now because two parents are working and two parents weren't working before. And Jesus balls you. You guys, get your shit together. Like, I cannot referee this argument anymore.
It's so much like my day job. There's a lot of young people I deal with on a daily basis, same kind of thing. And all the boomers that run the joint, especially in the beer business, counting hours. Oh, I haven't worked enough hours this week. Oh my God, would you shut up? Oh, this is it. They treat us like crap. They don't let us. Oh God. I mean, I'm right in the middle of it every day. I'm not really in charge of anybody. I mean, I am in charge of things. I have responsibilities that are important to get done correctly, but I don't really have to manage people. Thank God, because that wouldn't have lasted very long. So I'm happy about that. I don't need my name on a desk plate. I don't need it on a door. I don't need a parking place with my name on it. I don't need my own little tag to unlock the door. I don't need any of those things. I'm fine over there in the corner. Been doing it for 22 years. Please and thank you. Leave me alone. All right, a couple things from the Delta 9 THC world. This one's super short. I originally called it it's really the not real thing at all, but it's funny. It's short. Here you go.
And what do you know about that 6 o'clock non-alcoholic beer, huh? You don't think it hits the same? You don't think it hits just the same? It hits pretty close. Maybe not just the same, but if you take one gummy with it, it's basically the same.
Okay. So that's a TikTok. It's not basically the same, but I get the point, and she is close to correct. At least she's in the ballpark. She's drinking I think it's a Heineken Zero, and saying basically the same with a gummy. Not so much. This one real quick, though, is a little bit longer. Her name is Alana Glazer. She is quite the funny stand-up comedian, super feminist, super liberal, all those things. But her and a friend of hers did a show that Amy Poehler ended up being an executive producer of when she discovered them on Comedy Central called Broad City. Now, it was loaded with gratuitous sex and sexual innuendo and drug references. It was designed for dummies for sure, but it was really funny. And so I gave it a try for a while. She's on a podcast and they're talking about smoking weed. And this just hits. This hits for me. It makes sense and it won't make sense to everybody. This is today's absolute realest thing.
In my experience, when I smoke weed, I'm like, paranoid. I'm anxious.
That's what I'm talking about in my stand-up right now. It's like being a stoner parent and like panic every time. I've never smoked weed without having a panic attack first.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it's insane. Thousands and thousands of times.
No way. Every time you smoke.
Every single time.
Then what is the incentive?
It's a practice.
Okay.
It's a faith.
Okay.
Where you have the faith to keep going.
Right.
And the absurdity with which once you finally get over the peak and you're like, you silly bitch. I don't know. It's a trip. It's just like a little experience to have with yourself. But I do it so much with a lot more care and thought now.
I want to expand on that. And I will if there's time at the end of the show. I think there will be. I am exactly the same. And I find so much comfort in hearing somebody who I do respect and have enjoyed their work talk about having the exact same experience with cannabis. I have had borderline panic attacks pretty regularly. And it's like, dude, why would you possibly put yourself in a position to have a panic attack, to have anxiety just for what? And that's, you know, clearly what they were just talking about. And again, I'll get back to this towards the tail end of the Soberoo segment at the end of the show. But that certainly does track. And I can totally identify with that. Coming up next, the Department of Defense put a scare in me, and it wasn't just me. I will get to that with some detail, and then just touching on a bunch of stuff here over the course of the last week and a half or so that I wasn't able to get to because I haven't had a show. Hang tight, it's coming up.
Stone on Air will be right back.
He's cool.
StoneOnAir.com.
The U.S. Department of Defense will be coming to the Scenic City to conduct training through Monday, April 15th to Saturday, April 20th. The Hamilton County Sheriff's Office says this training exercise is not in response to any current events, but has been carefully planned for a while. The training about to take place is conducted several times a year in cities across the U.S. The Sheriff's Office warns that the community may hear loud noises or see helicopters in the early morning and evening hours during exercises.
I forgot I did that. This is a song, old-ass song from Soul Asylum called April Fool. Looking good, but sure don't feel right. Anything to be cool, I'm your April Fool. So I was looking for something to rejoin the show, and I couldn't find anything. And so I realized I canceled my, or I remembered anyway, that I canceled my AI 11 Labs, I think it's called, subscription that I had, and it ends like next week. And so, ding, light bulb, I went to it and then grabbed the text about the Department of Defense training going on, and I used Jeff Styles' voice. And I just totally forgot that I did that. I thought about using Tim Kelly, Weston Womp, and I just went with Jeff Styles. I was just having some fun. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. What do you want from me, all right? So here's the deal. You're hearing this Wednesday. This is Tuesday night on record. So this is Monday night. I'm sitting in the kitchen doing whatever I'm doing, watching TV, probably making something to eat or just got done eating or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, I hear this loud airplane. Really, it sounded like a helicopter. And I hear it getting louder and louder and louder. And it got to a point where it was like nothing I have ever heard or more specifically, more importantly, felt. It was rumbling. If I had a car alarm, it would have gone off. My windows, I thought there was an earthquake. Like for about 10 to 15 seconds, I was genuinely terrified. I was scared something was going on. I have been so out of touch with any of the just quick blurb hits of anything for the last 8-9 days. I didn't know there was or I guess I maybe heard that there was some kind of training. I didn't even know what it meant. So even if I knew, I didn't know what it meant. And I wasn't going to remember. I ran outside, as did the entire street. Lights flipping on, popping on up and down the street. It was about 9:40 at night. So not that late in my world. A little late for some. And I thought, you know, this is nutso. Like, this sounds like a war. This is crazy. And so before I get to some of this, some social media response, I have to do this. I am breaking what I'm going to call anyway, peer-to-peer Snapchat social media private conversation confidentiality. Real quick disclaimer before I do this. If you tell me that something is off the record, either in written form or verbally, I will respect that and die with it and take it to my grave. I'm actually the best person in the world to tell a secret to. I don't have a lot of friends. I ain't gonna tell anybody. I don't care enough about your dumb secret to tell anybody. I have plenty of friends, but you see what I'm saying. But if you tell me that it is off the record, it will stay off the record forever. If you don't, then it's open season. If you send me socials, if you put it on socials, if you leave my voicemail, any of these things, you send me a text, any kind of communication is going to be used if I feel like it's going to enhance the story. If you tell me not to, I promise you, I won't. She will not care that I'm going to do this. I'll keep her anonymous. She works in local politics, but this is just perfect. This was just minutes, or as this training was being deployed, or however it was happening at that moment.
Yeah, there's another one flying over my house right now. I live close to the airport. I know most of the planes that fly through here, and yeah, training. But I've never had training like this. Usually, training is on the weekends with the National Guard. I know every plane that flies over. Planes don't fly over this path like this, Brian. I'm not being a conspiracy theorist. I may put some aluminum foil on my head, but like living this close to the airport, I know the sounds, you know what I mean? Yeah.
We're still investigating.
Okay. Training. Training for what? What are you doing at 9 o'clock at night? Or should I say 21:40?
I love the military time at the end. She said it just like I would. Oh, really? Training. What are you doing at 9 o'clock? Of course, I would have to think about the military time. 21:40. I'm sorry. That's so funny. And I was thinking the same thing for a minute. From my social post, I immediately just put, and I don't do this very often, I just said, who else heard / felt that aircraft of sorts fly over? # if you know, you know. And I'll just paraphrase and blow through this. The security exercise going on, ? And then and my guy Nathan Gale says, came here to say the same thing. I responded, really? If it's not that, then start getting effing worried. Because, I mean, it sounded like war was here. Let's see. Are they sonic booms? ? My guy Jeff Charmin Harmon from the radio forever ago and maybe still occasionally, Light Mix 105 days back in the day. Love you, Jeff. Igu Gap Road near Gun Barrel. Loud as F. Shook my entire house. Let's see. Gene says, I heard it and prayed for our world. Carol says, it sounds like bombs. Brainerd Hills, big noise. I responded, I've never heard or felt anything like it. She responds, me either. All neighbors have now come outside. Same deal here in East Ridge. As per most of the time, Reddit is the best place for immediate reaction on socials. Training really downplays explosions and gunfire, IMO. The article mentioned helicopter noises, not explosions. The link the sheriff's department posted mentions loud noises should be expected. I saw helicopters earlier. I kind of scared. Long one here. I just highlighted a little bit. Yeah, I guess they decided to start doing it at 9 p.m. right outside my apartment complex. Started with a helicopter rattling my apartment before an explosion, going off that felt like it was right in my room. Blah, 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 blah. None of us in the apartment complex knew anything about this, and many of them woke up to what sounded like a war zone. Another response is, Civil War movie equals Homeland Security practice. Awesome. Training to attack people on U.S. soil. It's so comforting. And the final one from Reddit, just in time for World War III that's about to begin. And I haven't even mentioned anything about that because, as of now, not any real reason to. Not on this show. Anyway. And the final one I'll have on this that was sent to me by somebody in the know that I will not mention who it is, but kind of clears things up just a little bit. The Department of Defense had been coordinating this with local law enforcement for a while now, as I understand it. This training is for the elite of the elite of the U.S. military. There are a handful of vacant buildings that were selected for this training exercise. It's an extremely valuable piece of training for this group to get for what they do for us abroad. The helicopters that flew over the lookouts game are the elite pilots that fly these missions and are also the best in the world. It was awesome to be invited to watch this go down and probably a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see these dudes do a job where they are the best in the world. Think about watching a legit Pro Bowl football game. That's the caliber of soldier we're talking about here. And so that gives a nice little explanation and overall feel for what's actually happening. We're not under attack. I don't believe in this instance that we need to have our tinfoil hats on necessarily. though I do still continue to question and question and question, and I'll never stop, and I think we all should do that. But I would love to know how many 911 calls there were yesterday. I would love to know that. I bet it is, you know, I bet it's something stupid, like maybe 100%, 200% more calls. Because if you had no idea what was going on, which is generally everybody, because when you're on social media, how many people are paying attention to stuff like this? I mean, I wasn't, and I'm the guy who pays attention to seemingly everything that doesn't barely matter about this city. So I would love to know that number. Don't have a resource to find that out. So it goes on all week. So if you hear anything like this, do not be alarmed. And if you get a chance to get an eye on it, do so. I would suggest. I missed it. As I came running out the door, borderline terrified, I saw the trees swaying like it was a storm. I'm assuming it was a helicopter. I didn't actually get eyes on it. And I missed the aircraft. But boy, I mean, if it got any closer to my house, it's like the windows would have started just exploding out of the wall. So it's pretty, pretty wild stuff. And thanks to everybody who reached out to give me more information on that. So for the second half of the second segment of the show, I'll run through some things. Stratton Tingle is out at Soundcore. By all indications, he is just leaving the organization to head to the private sector. That's what I can quickly figure out. I could just ask him. I don't know Stratton real well. I know him kind of on a in a professional setting, not really as a personal friend guy. I do have his number, but you know, I don't text him and we don't talk about friendly kind of things. So I wouldn't want to put him in a position unless we were doing something that was officially on the record, which I don't care enough about to do that. He's out. The main reason bringing it up is I've never understood what the hell Soundcore is actually doing. It is subsidized by the city, I think entirely by the city. They might pull some money from some other funds. And they do some things like the sidewalk series or whatever they call that, which is just glorified busking. To me, it's kind of taking money out of the pockets of the buskers. If you want to busk, just go busk. You don't need an organization to help you do that. If you've got a guitar or whatever your instrument of choice is and you know how to play it, or even if you don't know how to play it and you want to just go on the bridge or sit on the street or whatever, just go do it. Now, I know there are probably some laws against it, and this probably gets around that. And, you know, you get some signage and you get a little help to something maybe you didn't have any experience in. It's all done with the best of intentions. I just didn't really understand what it was for. Now, I know what the mission statement is. I know what they'll tell you. It's to help grow the local music economy. It's a way to help young bands learn how to turn what is essentially a hobby into a profession. That's what they'll tell you. Is that stuff happening? I don't know. They're big behind the Road to Nightfall. That's just a happenstance thing. My thoughts on the Road to Nightfall recently have nothing to do with Soundcore, other than maybe obsolete events or in tandem with obsolete organizations funded by the city. I don't know. I'm not trying to be a hater. I've just always, since the jump, wondered, what is Soundcore actually doing? And when I really said, okay, this, you know, I don't have any more, much more time for this, about 3 or 4 years, whatever it was ago, years, Tim Boyd was a Hamilton County commissioner. He lived next door to me for years. We didn't like each other, but we got along with each other because we kind of had to. And I was in the media, he was in politics, and we were next door neighbors. So it'd be a good idea to get along with that guy. And we both kind of subscribed to that theory. Well, his daughter is Emily Kate Boyd, very well respected within the local music scene, but kind of a little bit of a tryhard. I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way. It just really hasn't panned out, meaning as a long-term profession, as a way to make money as an adult for a long period of time. And that is a story as old as the music industry. So if I'm being an asshole by pointing this out, then I'm sorry. I'll just have to be an asshole for pointing this out. He would always talk about how she needs to get another job because eventually this music thing isn't going to always pay the bills. I mean, this goes back to when I was in my late 20s and early 30s when me and Emily are the same age. We're not really friends. I don't think she knows who I am. I've met her like 5 times. And so I'm done meeting Emily. But when Stratton went in front of the Hamilton County Commission and asked for, I believe it was about $90,000. I'm pretty sure it was, I think that's their limit. Maybe it was less than that. Maybe it was $60,000. It was a decent amount of money. Tim Boyd signed off on that and was a deciding factor in giving that money to Soundcore. And guess who had a job with Soundcore the next day? Do I really have to tell you? His daughter, Emily, worked for Soundcore shortly after. He basically gave public money to an organization that most people were fond of with the underhand shake idea that this is to pay my daughter because she needs a job. That's what it was. And so I'm just kind of like, all right, screw you, Tim Boyd, because always screw you. And not screw you, Stratton, because, I mean, I would take the money, too, if I was Stratton. And I would give the job to the person who was instrumental in getting me this money. I would do the same thing. Doesn't change the fact that I've always questioned this. And so Stratton Tingle out as executive director of Soundcore, and it was something he was passionate about. And if he's getting out, I think that just solidifies my questioning that I'm not sure that this organization is needed anymore. And I mean, I'm saying this at risk of people who I am just mildly acquaintances with, and maybe even more than just acquaintances, like actual friends and colleagues, turning their backs and walking away and never talking to me again, because this could come across as being a hater. I promise you that's not what it is. Where I am a hater and certainly could have some mild acquaintances irritated with this, Marie Mott has dropped out of the mayor's race. It was a joke to begin with. She wasn't going to win. She has no backing. She's a professional victim. She has a rap sheet. She is an activist, but not in a good way. And there's going to be people that argue and disagree with me on this, and that's fine. We can do that, and we can still be friends, I hope. But she is awful for this city. She has run for city council. She is, I think she's done this mayor, you know, I'm going to run for mayor crap a couple of times. And, you know, if you pull it off and you do something that no one expects you to do, then that's a hell of a story. But she is not good for Chattanooga politics. She's not good for Chattanooga activism. And she's not good for really anything. And if you see Marie Mott involved in anything, don't support it. Run away. Don't be involved. And I got up early for me, which is 8 o'clock in the morning, on Tuesday to take my cat to the vet. And I flipped it on old WGOW. Talk Radio 102.3, right at 8:07. They still get back in after that long-ass news break. And to my shock, they actually had some substantive conversation going with Marie Mott on the phone. Now, predictably, it was not done very well because they don't do anything well at that radio station. But she did talk for a few minutes and said a lot of the same typical stuff and made the announcement that she was dropping out. So, get lost, Marie Mott. Couple other things here really, really quick. The Usher thing, the celebration of Usher coming to UTC Arena. Is it this weekend? It might be this weekend. If it's not this weekend after that, doesn't matter. I don't have tickets. And once I found out there's no real performance, I don't want to go. UTC Arena is fine, but really, it sucks. I mean, it really does. I know they're doing a lot of work. I hope it's going to get better. They've dressed it up as nice as you can for basketball. But if there's not a performance and it's just a bunch of people and organizations doing whatever they're doing, I don't have a lot of interest in that. But it did sell out, so good for them on that. Enjoy yourself if you decide to do that. And the last one I'll get here from this is just hand scratched on a piece of paper from last week. Good old Davis Lundy, as I have a minute and a half before we hit 20 minutes on this second segment. So I'll give you about 60 seconds. This guy is a freaking buffoon. He was an advisor to Weston Womp. He worked under Weston when he first won the mayor's race for the county. He used to be our next door neighbor, about four houses down in Collegedale in the 90s. My dad hated him and he hated my dad. They were the type of personalities that would be like that. I don't really have good stories from those times. I was quite young and didn't really know any better other than knew my dad hated my neighbor. That's about as far as I went. But he got pulled over having a ton of weed in his car, called it CBD, liar. He was drinking wine and out of a glass in his cup, had an open bottle of booze in the back of the car. The whole thing gets tossed. The whole thing gets tossed. He gets let go from Weston's cabinet, and then a month later it gets tossed. Friends in high places, right? The guy's a clown, and now he's been arrested for assaulting his drunk-ass son with a baseball bat. He lives off Pine Ridge Road, which is off Ottawa-Ringgold and right near the line of Collegedale and East Brainerd, not far away at all from where I grew up. And the story reads hysterically. I mean, I hate to hear, you know, the substance abuse issues, which you're about to hear plenty of here in a minute. And I really do feel for that kind of stuff, but not from assholes like this. And the piece, which I don't have in front of me, talked about the drunk son and the drunk dad with the bat. There's blood on the bat. All right, dude, you got a problem, dude. You got a serious problem. Apparently, he was also had some weed on him. When they took him to book him to put him in jail, he still had weed in his pocket, like trying to conceal it. This guy, Davis Lundy, is cuckoo. He's out to lunch. His brain is not working, and it's either because of drug and alcohol addiction or because of just mental deterioration or both. Get some help, Davis Lundy, please. Speaking of getting help, speaking of addiction issues, speaking of alcohol and drug abuse, well, there's organizations out there to help, especially if you want to continue to live your life inside of the world of festivals and concerts where those things are so prominent. We talked to the founder of Soberu on the What Podcast here recently, and you'll hear excerpts from that coming up next.
Stone on Air coming up.
I'll go ahead and make sure you get another copy of that memo.
At StoneOnAir.com.
There is a greater purpose. You know, I buy tickets to a concert. It's not so I can get wasted. It's I bought a ticket to see a band. And I go to see the music. And that was a novel idea when I'd spent, you know, a better part of a decade or so seeing Grateful Dead concerts. And I didn't make it into a couple of them. You know, this was in the parking lot, too drunk to get inside. You know, where I was in my tent at Deer Creek and could not get out the next day because I was so hungover. So those things happen to us when we get into recovery. We gotta find the people that are generally wanting to help and serve.
That was Patrick Whelan. I have to rethink it every time because it's spelled like Whelan, like Whelan Foundry. This is Eddie Vedder and Post Malone doing Better Man. Post Malone going to be playing the Saturday night, or no, Friday night of Bonnaroo this year, in case you wondered. Patrick Whelan is the co-founder of Soberu. I will get back to that here in just a minute. First, I actually thought about waiting until tonight at 12:01 to do the third segment of this show, because the third single from the new record, Dark Matter, from Pearl Jam. I know, here we go, another thing about Pearl Jam. I understand, I'll make it quick. But then I thought, well, that's insanity. I don't want to wait till midnight. I want to get it done. The new single is so good. I want to hear it so bad, and I want you to hear it so bad. You know, we all do that a little bit at music heads, like, oh my God, this song's so good, I want everybody to hear it. And then almost everybody, and when I say almost, I mean basically everybody, doesn't want to hear it. If they did want to hear it, they would go listen to it. But so real quick, though, since I'm not going to wait, there is a 30-second clip that they've been putting out teasers, and I want to play 30 seconds of it for you if I can find it. Sorry, I'm having to go through my list here, and I'm stalling. There it is. I will play that for you real quick. 30 seconds. This is a new single that will be out today, Wednesday the 17th. Oh, and I was talking about the other week, the second single, you know, was awful. It's a terrible song. Terrible song. And so if you're asking, Brian, you've heard 30 seconds of a song, how do you know you love it? Well, I can tell. That's enough. But I went to Yellow Racket Records this weekend. I talked about it on the show, and I pimped it all over social, gave him a ton of what would be pretty expensive advertising if I wanted to try to sell it. But I did it because I was excited to go to the listening party on Sunday, where at 4 o'clock you could, you know, there get a beer, buy some records. My brother went along with me. I had my Delta 9 and seltzer going. A little bit of went a little heavy that day on it, actually. We'll talk about that on the What podcast likely. And listen to the new album, and that song hit, and it was boom. As soon as I heard it, I was like, I love it. I love this song. What is it called? And then my friend in New York, Brad, who does alt radio programming, texted me today and said, new single, Wreckage, tomorrow. It is amazing. And I said, which track is it? Because I'd written down the track listing when I was listening to it at the record store. And he said, Wreckage. And I thought, oh my God, it was the one before Dark Matter. Oh, I love that one. I love it. So I've only heard it one time. I can't wait to hear more of it. So sorry. That's all. I know I said I'd just do a second. I did more than a second. So thanks so much to Yellow Racket Records. I don't know what they got to pay or what the arrangement agreement on that is. They gave away a lot of cool stuff, some patches, some posters, an incredible record player slip mat. If you know, you know. This thing is beautiful. I'm holding it right now as if I'm on camera. It's gorgeous. It looks like a record. It goes on your record player. Just so much fun. Cool. I knew it would be neat, but cooler than I even expected. So let's switch to this here real quick. So the What podcast, it is something I am now involved with and happy to do it and give you two shows a week that I steer you towards. Primarily, we talk about Bonnaroo, of course, with Barry Corder and Lord Taco, but it also can be other festivals. But this time of year, you know, this is Bonnaroo season. And super fast reset, I don't drink anymore. If you happen to be new here, but I did my whole life until last year. And when I found Soberoo at Bonnaroo last year, I talked to them for a lengthy amount of time. And I have been aware of this organization for probably the whole 20 plus years that it's been around, but I would have laughed at you if you wanted to tell me about it. Like, I was such a drunk and so in the lifestyle of drugs and alcohol, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? That I thought an organization like that was stupid. That's the way my brain worked. And a lot of that's immaturity, you know, a lot of that's life experience that I haven't gotten yet, but that's silly. So anyway, I've known of this for a long time, but didn't care anything about it. Now I think it's one of the most amazing success stories that I have ever heard. And I know that sounds like hyperbole, but it is on a list of amazing success stories that I have been told personally by the person who did it. And his name is Patrick Whalen. I have five cuts, less than 5 minutes. It's probably 4 total minutes of audio from an hour conversation that we had last week. So let's get started with it. Just quite simply, what is Soberoo?
So we're a fan-facing public installation, and we're just interacting with fans that walk by, and we explain what we are, which is really just a group of fans that choose to come to Bonnaroo without using drugs or alcohol. We're not affiliated with the festival, any bands in particular. We're not affiliated with any 12-step recovery program. We want to make that clear. We're not there to, you know, promote anything. We're just providing a safe space. It's a harbor for people that are there choosing not to drink or use. Some are straight edge. Most are in recovery from addiction or alcoholism. But we've had expectant mothers. We've had designated drivers at certain events, people that pop in that are just tired of their friends that have had too much.
I like that one, because how many times have you gotten tired of your friends that have had too much? Now, normally I was the friend that had too much, or I was amongst all the friends that were having too much together. But they are they're not affiliated with AA. We talk about that at some length. I am not a fan of AA. I won't go into it anymore now. I actually dislike it. It's not as much of I'm not a fan. I actually really dislike it, though I respect it and believe that it does work for people. I don't like it for myself. And it's still early in my journey, as they say, in my world of not drinking alcohol. It's only been a year and a couple of months. So that's, in the grand scheme of things, actually not that long. I love this one. This is just him kind of giving his story.
and I can feel every bit of it. I would guess Patrick is probably 10 years older than me, could be even more. He looks good for his age, especially that he's not killing himself with drugs and alcohol anymore.
My identity was based around, you know, using, you know, there was, like, I identified with it. It was like, all, you know, self-esteem was based around how much could I get and how much could I use and how fun could I seem to be having. And I got into recovery back in 97. After 6 months, I thought my life was over. I thought my life was over when Jerry Garcia died, you know, and then I spiraled for several years into bad addiction and alcoholism. Got into recovery. And then in the summer of 98, I'm going to Telluride without any support. But I went out there with some other friends that I'd had that used and drank and smoked and did all that stuff. And we had a good time. But I went to a meeting in town that day, and I met some people that I'm still friends with to this very day. Just happened to run into folks that are in the industry or major, major fans that are always on the road touring with people. So sort of lucked into that little group of people.
So there's a lot going on in that 50-second clip. All right, so his journey to where he got, which I just love and can feel 100%, but he did the same kind of thing that I did immediately. I've got to go. I went to a Braves game shortly after I got out of rehab. I went to Bonnaroo 2 months later. I went to a concert in Atlanta about a month later, and I was lost. Like, oh, my God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And it was without support, right? I'm with people who are drinking. It was very difficult. He did that same thing in 1998 to go to Telluride, the Bluegrass Festival, legendary. I don't think it's still going. I think it actually closed not long ago, or they've revamped it or something. I'm not sure. Out in Colorado. And he went to that meeting and met people that helped create this organization in 1998. You never, ever know who you're going to meet, who you're going to run into, and what kind of relationships might come from that. It is, it's just so cool to hear. And by forcing himself out and staying true to what he then now had turned into believing in the late 90s when nobody else around him was, he created this amazing organization a few years later. Speaking of that, here at the beginning, just to clear it up, he says 2026. He means 2006. Easy to do to accidentally stumble on something like that. This is organically happening as Bonnaroo comes around in 02. He's from Louisville, Kentucky, so just up the road. And in the fourth year, the heavy hitters from the festival in 2006 were asking him and his organization, what are you? What is this? What in the world are you doing?
And we just showed up. We started to kind of, how do you find each other? And we organized loosely. Over the course of going back 3-4 years, it was probably 2026. We were sitting under a tree, on the only tree maybe in Santa Rosa that we could find. And we had a little meeting. And if you've ever seen one, I mean, you know what it looks like. And Chris Crowell drove up on her little golf cart. She was director of operations in the field at the time. And she's like, what are y'all doing? I was like, oh my God, we are in trouble over here. I told her, I said, this is what we're doing. She goes, okay. She goes, here's my card. I want you to call me next week. And so I got on a call with her, and she said, so I want to get you on another call with some other people. I was thinking, are there going to be lawyers on this call? Is this like a cease and desist? Don't come back to our festival. Jack Daniels is over here not looking very proud at what you're doing. So I did not know what to expect, but Rick Farman was on the call.
And right there, Rick Farman, you've probably heard of Ashley Capps. Good chance you've heard of AC Entertainment. It was AC Entertainment and Superfly that created Bonnaroo. Rick Farman and Ashley Capps were two of the, I don't know, probably upwards of 5 to 6 people overall, but really it was kind of a core four, and he was one of them. And he's on this call. I mean, just something like that makes it almost gives me chills thinking about how cool that is. We get into more of that and how the organization is not affiliated with Bonnaroo, but how that partnership works. You'll hear it all on the What podcast. Two more here for you real quick. This one's shorter, 30 seconds. Just a kind of a typical festival situation that Patrick runs into still to this day, every time they show up at these mini events all over the country.
There hasn't been a festival that I have been to, whether it's Bonnaroo or any of the other 35 that we do, that I haven't sat at the table and had an experience with someone that had never met us, that did not know we existed, and then popped in. And in some instances, were like, I can't stop. I used too much. I had a terrible night last night. Or they brought their friend over who had a terrible experience to talk with us. And then they like are teary-eyed and we talk. We go back in the back and we just have a few minutes with them somewhere outside where it's quiet and try to get them to just come back down to earth and go experience the rest of the week.
And so I would have trouble with that because you know you're going to get, meaning trying to deal with that type of person because you know what this is, but all of us do who like to get, you know, messed up, especially in settings like that. I'll never drink again guy, right? Like we've all done, I'll never drink again. Wake up, have the worst hangover. And it's like, I will never do this to myself again. And then what are you doing a few hours later? You're doing it again. At least that's what the addict is doing. And even the non-addict still falls victim to that. The I'll never drink again guy. I would have trouble having patience with that. But I mean, this dude and the people that are directly involved in my book are saints, absolute saints. And the word service and serving, I believe, is absolutely the right word description to be used when so many times in this country, the word public servants, especially in our disgustingly awful entertainment political complex, that word is used. Here, it actually means something. And the final one for you here is the question was, how is life in this environment? What's different about it being sober?
The answer that everybody hears, I remember the music. You know, the next day, I remember what happened. I remember the set list. You know, I remember who I sat with, and I remember most of the events. But it gets me high. Music has always gotten me high. I just love going to see live music. I thought it was enhanced by my drinking and my using, and then I lost my way through that addiction, and then I've gotten off, and I'm on the other side. And I'm like, I love the environment around live music, getting in past the ticket takers and the metal detectors and getting to the seats and seeing people and socializing around it. And then, boom, it's just that rush of just that first note and we're off and running. And it's an adrenaline that, you know, I don't need, you know, drugs and alcohol for. And I did not know that in active addiction because all I knew was I needed another drink.
Another just absolutely perfectly identifiable story. I could be telling you this exact same thing, except I'm not going to even begin to put myself in the same shoes as Patrick Whalen. Similar story. It's only unique because we're all unique in our own situation, but that same kind of thing has happened to so many different people. And when you learn it and when you figure it out, that light bulb is so bright and it is so welcoming. And that's all I have for you from there. If you want to hear the whole conversation, thewhatpodcast.com. I implore you to do that. If you don't want to, you got the gist of it there, and I understand that as well. But going back to what I talked about at the beginning of the show with the cannabis and the legal hemp derivatives now in the state of Tennessee, and I am a user, and I probably will be for seemingly, it feels like, maybe going forward regularly all the time. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. As long as you know what you're doing, how to do it, and I've been learning this for like a year. I mean, quite literally, it has been a education process for me, and I don't find it to be a negative thing for my life. Though I say that, and I go back to that comedian who earlier says thousands of times she's had a panic attack smoking weed. I think she's exaggerating a touch. Panic attack is a pretty serious thing, but high levels of anxiety. I also have lots of anxiety when I use cannabis or smoke weed in any way over my entire life. I've never been much of a smoker, and I still don't. I don't smoke at all. I do edibles and the oils and things like that. And I didn't smoke because it made me paranoid, and it brought out the worst in me. While drinking, meaning in a singular setting, while drinking brought out what I thought was the best of me, my personality, my social skills, my willingness to do fun things. And, you know, it's some of that's true, most of it's not, but it is totally true to say that the weed, the marijuana, made me the opposite of that. It made me more reserved. It made me less social. It did not put me in a mood that I found to be beneficial. So I just generally didn't do it. Most people thought I did. You know, I didn't tell them, No. Let me tell you the real story here. It's just assumed that I drink all the time. I must smoke all the time too. And getting high and watching a show certainly never bothered me. I've always enjoyed that. But this usage, with it being 420 weekend, I can't wait to go to a couple of head shops and maybe the Snapdragon Fest at Miller Park. And there's another one in St. Elmo. Sorry, I don't remember what it's called, but on 420, it's sponsored by one of the hemp dispensaries around here and might stop there as well. And now that I've kind of figured it out, I haven't figured anything out, it is something that really works for me. It is an escape. It is a practice. It is something that helps. It is a mind expansion. It forces me to think about things in a way that I normally wouldn't. And when that, we'll call it the peak, as she talks about earlier, wears off and she says, oh, you silly bitch. That's kind of what it is. It was like, you just freaked out over nothing, dude. There's nothing to worry about. What are you doing? Let's try again tomorrow. It sounds silly, but I get it. And I believe in it. And I think it's safe, especially if you have an understanding of what you're doing. I don't do it generally a whole lot in public. I do occasionally, and sometimes, like I did on Sunday, a little too much, and that I learn from that, and so I'm a supporter and an advocate for legal marijuana, and I always will be. And 12-step programs are not really hip to that, and we talk about that some on the podcast on the what, but we don't dwell on it a whole lot, and me and him don't see eye to eye on that, but it's okay. You don't have to. This isn't a I'm right, you're wrong kind of thing. And so happy 420, everybody. Earth Day, right? Record Store Day this weekend. The best month ever continues. The new record from Pearl Jam drops on Friday the 19th. This is the first single from it since I don't have access to the latest. It's Dark Matter on the way out the door here. If you hear what sounds like a World War III outside your house, do not be alarmed. Don't call 911. Get outside and try to get a look at it, because this is far more majestic. Is that the right word? It's far more impactful as an exercise than we realize, I think. That's what it sounds like anyway. So enjoy your weekend. Hour in the books. Happy to have a show for you this week. Do it every single Wednesday at Stone on Air on all social media is how you get a hold of me. And I'll wrap things up right there. One more Wednesday in April to go, and the Stone on Air podcast will be here for it. Y'all have a great one. We'll talk to you then. See you later. Bye.